thank your minister for the invitation to come along and to share in the Word of God with you this evening. If we could sing the hymn number 192, hymn number 192, it's found on the page 253. O Word of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high, O truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of our dark sky. And I think if I remember right, I think you stand to sing, and assuming that I have got it right, not your normal custom, we'll stand to do that. O Word of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high, O truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of our dark sky, we praise thee for the radiant that from the commit the service now to the Lord with a word of prayer. Our eternal God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee once again that in the middle of the week that we can come to gather around thy word and to seek thy face in prayer. We thank thee, O God, for the public prayer meeting, the place where prayer is wont to be made. We do thank thee that we can come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was sent to this world to die on the cross at Calvary, to shed his precious blood for the sins of sinful man. Oh, we thank thee for the love of Christ. We think of how the scriptures say that how there is no love that is greater than a man who lays down his life for his friends. Oh, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he did lay down his life in order to purchase that great redemption. We thank thee for redemption. We thank thee, O God, that it sets us free from the chains of sin. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for all that has been done for us. Lord, we do thank thee. We do have the freedom in this land to preach the gospel. And we do ask, O God, that thou wouldst preserve that freedom. We do see various attacks against it, attacks against Christian liberty. We see attacks against what is taught in thy word. But Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst stem the tide. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst work in our land. It seems that every day that passes, our land just gets worse. It gets worse. And it does grieve us. And O God, we pray. We pray earnestly that thou wouldst turn the tide. We pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst bring those, whether they are in the highest echelons of power and government, or whether they are those who are even among the homeless people on the streets. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst draw them to thee, and that their souls would be won, that they would be saved, O God. We pray that thou wouldst work in this land in a mighty way. We pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst work in a way that has never been seen before. Oh, we long for revival, not some drummed-up man-made experience, but, Lord, we long for a visitation of thy Spirit upon this land, a true revival. We think of the day of Pentecost, when there was thousands added to the church. We think, O God, of the revival that took place in Samaria. And, O Lord, we know that thou canst do it again. We think of the 1859 revival. We think of the great revivals in the Great Awakening, both here in England and in the United States, under George Whitefield. And Lord, we think of how even those crowds of 20 and 30 and 40,000 were coming to hear this man as he preached in the open air. Lord, if there was an open air to be held tonight, we would probably do well to be in double figures. But yet in those days, people who were unconverted, they flocked to hear the preaching of the word. And O God, we ask that thou wouldst put it in the hearts of those who were unconverted. Put it in their hearts to come and to hear the preaching of the gospel. We ask that thou wouldst bless whatever evangelistic endeavors take place. We think of perhaps of tract distribution. And we think perhaps of people speaking to their friends and what other means may take place. Maybe it's via the social media or whatever. And we ask that thou wouldst bless it. We ask that thou wouldst use it. Use those means and what other means are maybe used. Use them to bring people in and to hear the gospel and to bring them to salvation. We do remember the work of our youth council. We do thank thee for the good weekend that they have had at Castle Wellham in the previous weekend. But we do pray, O God, that thou wouldst bless them as they proceed with outreach. Outreach in Belfast there with our John Knox congregation. We ask that thou wouldst bless those couple of Saturdays that they have scheduled to go and do tract distribution and open-air work and different types of evangelism. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst send the young people, that thou wouldst give them a burden to get involved with the work of God. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst bless their labors. We ask that even through that work, that many would come to know thee. Oh, we know that up in Belfast, even in those areas that are considered Protestant, really the majority of people, they don't even know what a Protestant really is. It's nothing more than a name tag. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray for them tonight. We pray for the people in Belfast. We pray for people in other towns and cities across this land, wherever they may be. We pray for people here in Six Mile Cross and the surrounding district. And we ask that thou wouldst touch their souls and that they would realize, O God, that they are lost, that they are sinners before thee, and that if they were to stand before thee on the judgment day right at this moment, that they would be weighed in the balances and that they would be found wanting. O God, we ask that thou wouldst give us help. Help us to preach thy word. Help us to help all of us to speak a word for thee. We pray for opportunities. We pray for open doors. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst give us the wisdom that we so need. We are to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. O God, give us help to reach the lost. We remember the missionary cause. We thank thee for all the blessings that have been bestowed upon our mission work. But we do remember the missionaries tonight, wherever they may be, whether they are there in Africa or in Australia or elsewhere, we pray that thy hand would be upon them. We think of how lonely it must be on the mission field, especially at this present moment in time when perhaps they are unable really to travel about, or maybe they are having to be more isolated and not get out among the people. But we ask that thou wouldst draw near to them, comfort them, strengthen their hearts. And oh, we ask that even in the midst of these circumstances that we find ourselves in, we ask that thy kingdom would be extended. We do pray for thy church here in Ulster. We pray that thou wouldst bless it. We pray that thou wouldst give wisdom to our denomination as to what takes place in the days ahead. We know we are in certainly uncharted territory, really. But we do pray, O God, that wisdom and guidance would be given to those in authority, both in our presbytery, but also to those in our government. We ask that thou wouldst undertake for us, and that soon that this pandemic would pass, and that soon we would be able to get back even to the normal worship services that we're having before COVID. We do long to see the day when social distancing and all the various restrictions that are placed upon us become a thing of the past. But yet we do thank thee for these measures. We thank thee for these measures that do contribute towards the preservation of life. But, O Lord, we do long for the day when we can even do such small things as shake our brothers and sisters in Christ, shake their hands. Lord, we do pray and ask that day that it would not be far away. But we do pray for patience. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst give us help. And help us, O God, even throughout this pandemic and beyond. Help us to be shining lights of examples for those around us. Oh, we've seen the last year and a half that many in the world, they have been really at their wits' end. They have not known what to do. They have not known where to turn. But we thank thee that we can come to one who controls all things, one who is sovereign, one who is the authority in the heavens and the earth. We thank thee for the scriptures. We think of that hymn that we have just been singing, O Word of God incarnate, O Wisdom from on high. We thank thee for the scriptures. We thank thee that we know that they contain infallible truth. We thank thee that they are inspired. We thank thee, O God, that we can take them as our only rule of faith and practice. We pray that thou wouldst help us to understand them. And as we come to consider thy word this evening, I do pray for help in the preaching of the word. I pray, O God, for the infilling of thy Spirit, that as we examine the passage that we will read shortly, we ask for help in the reading. We ask for help in the preaching. We pray, O God, that thy Spirit would apply the word to each one that is present here, and that it would certainly be even a word in season. Thou knowest the hearts of us all. Thou knowest our individual needs. Thou knowest what we maybe are facing in our day-to-day life. Thou knowest all the circumstances we face. And we do thank thee, O God, that when we come to thee, and when we ask for thee to supply our needs, we rejoice that thou hast said that if we ask, we shall receive. We do pray that thou wouldst bless each one connected to this congregation tonight. We do ask that thou wouldst supply every need. We do remember those who may be laid aside with sickness. We pray and ask that thy hand would be upon them, and that thou wouldst be pleased even to raise them up again to a full measure of health and strength. We do remember the Reverend Ormerod. We pray and ask that thou wouldst bless him also and bless his family. Undertake for him in any need that he may have. And we do pray, O God, that thou wouldst even bless thy servant's ministry here in Six Mile Cross. We ask, O God, that even as he ministers here week by week, that thou wouldst continue to give him were a message from thee, a word in season, and that he would even have the privilege and the joy of even pointing many souls to Christ in this place. But Lord, now we do ask that thou wouldst bless us, undertake for us, bless the preaching of the word. We pray all these things in thy name and for thy glory. Amen and amen. If you have your Bible with you, if you could turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter and the chapter 2. 1 Peter and the chapter 2. And we will just read the first 10 verses of this chapter. That's the epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 2, commencing at the opening verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. And we do trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts this evening. In the last number of months, and I suppose the last 18 months especially, we have heard the word essential used many times. I'm sure that we all have grown very familiar with terms such as essential workers or essential services, which have been bandied about the various news programs and in interviews. And these may include medical staff, nursing staff, or law enforcement, and so on. But the word essential, it means something that is indispensable, something that is necessary, or something that is highly important. And in our own lives, I'm sure we all have those things that are very important, that are essential. I'm sure we have duties, tasks, responsibilities, requirements. Maybe it's to do with our employment. We think of farmers and how maybe they have essential tasks, such as milking cows or other things that may take place on a farm. Or maybe in the family, there's various responsibilities, such as looking after other family members or cooking the meals. And we would consider those things to be essential. And there's no doubt that those things are essential and that there are many others that are genuinely essential in life. But tonight I just want to speak for a little while on a matter that is extremely essential in the life of the believer. It's a matter that, sadly, even many professing Christians, they struggle with. They struggle with it greatly. And I know certainly that many young people who I have been in contact with over the last few years, they have greatly struggled with it. They have found it very difficult, as well as those of older generations. And I think it's something that it really needs to be highlighted. It's something that it cannot be understated. And it's my intention this evening to take verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2, to take the second verse as my text. It reads, As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And I just wish to leave three thoughts with you about reading the scriptures from this passage. And firstly, I'd like us to note that there is a parallel that is given here. The first three words of our text is newborn babes are very significant. The apostle here, he is taking the illustration of a newborn baby and he's comparing it to the believer, and I suppose particularly to the new believer. And now, I'm not a married man, so obviously I've never had a baby, but whenever a baby comes into the family, it is small. It is weak, it's helpless, it's unable to do many things, it's not able to walk, and it may not even be able to crawl. And this is what the Apostle Peter is comparing those who are newly converted to. When a child is born, it is fed milk as they do not have the teeth that they need to chew meat or other foodstuffs. And obviously, not having teeth, they could not eat a Sunday dinner with roast beef or whatever you would have. But if they were fed that, it would be too much and it would have serious implications for the health of the baby. But as it grows older and the teeth begin to grow, the body develops and over time it is able to chew and to digest the proper food. But it is of the utmost importance that the baby is given the correct and the appropriate food whenever it is born. Whenever a man is converted, he is obviously saved instantly, and there's no doubt about that. We know that that great work of salvation, it's not a long, drawn-out process, as some would tell us, but it is instantaneous. But like the baby that has just been born, the new believer, he has to grow. He has to grow in the faith. He has to learn. And that is something which takes time. In comparison to the literal baby needing the milk, the literal milk to grow, the new believer, he needs the milk of the Word of God. As it is essential for a baby to have the right food, it is also essential for the believer to have the right sort of spiritual food. And the day will come whenever the believer will progress on to the more difficult matters as he grows in the faith. Just like the baby, whenever the baby grows, it moves on to harder food and more difficult food to chew. But there has to be a starting point. The Apostle Peter here is teaching that as babies desire milk, and I obviously have no experience with babies, but we have had some pups, and just taking them as an example, they certainly let you know whenever they want to be fed. And if, as babies, or as I said, as pups would desire milk, they desire to be fed. As believers, we should desire to be fed. We should desire to be fed with the Word of God. We should desire to be fed with the milk, and then as we develop and grow, with the meat. The new believer, he ought to have that desire, just as the same way as the believer, the man or woman who has been saved for many years. In Psalm number 1, and in the verse 2, the psalmist David, he writes, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." David, he meditated upon the scriptures. He took the time to read the word. He took the time to meditate and to think upon it. And that should be our desire. That should be our desire, to study and to read the scriptures. Surely if we delight in the law of the Lord, we ought to want to read it continually. We ought to have that desire. And tonight, have you got a desire to read the word? Do you desire to read it? Do you read it? Do you discipline yourself to sit down and to meditate upon it? And it is certainly true that it takes a self-discipline to set time to the side to study and to read the scriptures. And I was down playing football on Monday night with a few people from my congregation in Portadown. And I hadn't played football for quite a while, longer than I really care to remember with all that's been going on with the pandemic. And after 5 minutes, I knew it was going to be a long night. But I do remember maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, I used to play quite a bit. I played for one of our local teams. There was a number of us who were believers, and we played for the same team. And maybe I would have been out running maybe every free night of the week that I had. We'd have been training maybe 2 to 3 times a week and then playing matches as well. And But in order to get to that level of fitness to be able to do that, there had to be self-discipline. There had to be, we had to do all that training, but also you were watching what you ate. You were being very, very careful. And sadly, certainly since going to college, a lot of that has gone out the window. We don't really have time to go out for 5 or 6 mile runs. But in the same way, whenever it comes to studying the Word of God, there must be self-discipline. There will be obstacles, there will be hindrances, there will be temptations and distractions, and maybe when you're about to sit down to read the Word, maybe the phone will ring or something, you'll remember something that you forgot to do. But it is essential to have self-discipline. It is essential for the baby to receive the milk to survive, to grow, to develop properly. And it is also essential for the believer to take in the nourishment that they receive from the Word of God. It is so important to exercise self-discipline. And if we understand the value of reading the Word of God, the inspired Word that has been given to us, we should do all that we can to guard the time we spend with the Lord and in His Word. But then secondly, we note that there is a progression that takes place. We've seen the believer, he is the take of the sincere milk of the Word. We've seen how important and how essential that is. He needs it to grow. But in the same manner as the newborn babe, he is not to continue on for the rest of his days just taking the basic milk. He will never grow if he does so. We could take the example of a child in school, maybe starting in P1, and they go into the maths class and they learn, say, the basic addition, such as 1 plus 1. But if they never progress on through their years of education to learn subtraction, division, multiplication, algebra, or whatever else that you cover in maths, he will not grow in his knowledge of that subject. But rather, he will become stagnant. He will not progress. He will not improve. And likewise, when it comes to the reading of the Word of God, there must be growth. Growth is so important in the book of Hebrews and the chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter 5, we read some words about progressing on to the meat of the Word. In chapter 5 and the verse 14, it says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Then the previous verses there, they speak a little bit about the milk and the strong meat. And again, it's speaking about the Word of God. But there must be, obviously, a progression then if we are to grow. And maybe we wonder, how do we progress? How do we grow? And there's various aspects. But tonight, I'll just briefly outline some key ones. And the first one is, I suppose, the amount of reading that we do. And it is important that there's a daily reading of the Word of God. We've already referred to the first psalm and how that the psalmist, he says that he in his law doth he meditate day and night. We could easily get into a little controversy here, and certainly being in Bible college, we often have many discussions and there's much controversies that come up between us, but some people, they would stipulate very strongly that you have to read a certain amount of Scripture every day, whether that's, I think it was one theologian, A.W. Pink, he read, I think it was either 8 or 10 chapters a day. But others maybe read 4, and a lot of people have different amounts that they would stipulate. But I do remember one senior minister, and I thought it was a very wise thing to say. And he was speaking about this matter, and he made the point that it is much better to read what we can and as much as we can, and take the time to understand it, to be blessed by it, to pray over it, than to read so much that whenever we finish reading, say, if it's 10 chapters, by the time we've read the 10th chapter, we don't remember what the first chapter was even saying to us. And again, it's something which many people would maybe find controversial, but the important principle to set down, I believe, is that it is essential to read the Scriptures daily. And it's difficult, and I can testify that in my own life, whenever I was younger, it was a very difficult thing to discipline myself to read the Word every day. But it was the Bishop J.C. Ryle, and he once said, speaking about this subject, he said that the way to do a thing is simply to do it. We note also the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 13. And he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Timothy was to read. He was to read the Word of God and how important it is. But we also can note the manner of reading, and it must be emphasized that we are to read the whole of Scripture. A few pages over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible in verse 16, where it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We ought not to neglect parts of the Bible, but rather we ought to seek to read the whole of it. I remember hearing of a speaker, it might be a year, 2 years ago, and when he was speaking, he had said that we don't really need to worry about reading the Old Testament, because all it contains is just deep theology and various rules and laws that we could never understand. So really what he was saying was that we only need to read the New Testament. And I'm sure that every one of us tonight would certainly disagree with what that person said. But what Paul has said here to Timothy is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We ought to read the whole of Scripture. In that passage there in 2 Timothy, the New Testament obviously hadn't been compiled as we have it now. So he was actually really speaking of the Old Testament. We ought to seek to read even those difficult parts. We ought to seek to read the whole of the Word of God. We also can note the words of John chapter 5 and the verse 39. John 5 verse 39. It says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." We ought to search the Scriptures. The command is given to search the Scriptures. We ought to see, whenever a matter comes up in life, we ought to see what the Scriptures have to say about it. Then in Acts chapter 17, and the verse 11, we read of the believers there, or the Jews there in Berea. And it says there in verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." These people, when they heard the Apostle Paul and they heard Silas preaching, they went and they searched the Scriptures. They went to see, they went to the Scriptures to see if what they said was really true. And that's what we ought to do as well. May we be men and women who read the Scriptures, who search the Scriptures. And may we be like those people in Berea, who they examined what they heard with the teachings of the Word of God. Often today we hear many people, especially over the last 18 months, when I suppose many of us have been spending more time on the internet than before, whether it's been listening to messages that are preached or whatever. We often see maybe in other places a sermon or something come up, or a clip of something. And it is important that we know the Word of God. It is important that we try the spirits to see if they are of God, because there are many, many false teachers out there. But also when we come to read the Word, and in order to progress, our reading must be prayerful. We must take the time to ask the Lord to speak to us. We think of the words of Psalm 119, a great psalm which deals much about the Word of God. Psalm 119 in the verse 18. It says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Prayer is so vitally important, for we need the Lord to open our eyes, that we can understand what we read. And it, along with the reading of Scripture, is another thing that is so essential. The great Baptist preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was once asked by a man, "What is more important, prayer or reading the Bible?" And C.H. Spurgeon, he responded with another question. He said, "What is more important, breathing in or breathing out?" And that is how important those two matters are. And prayer, it ought to accompany our reading of the Scriptures. It ought we ought to ask for the Spirit to come and to enlighten our minds, for we cannot understand these things ourselves. But tonight, may each one of us, may we seek to read the Word. May we seek to drink in the Word, whether we are on the milk or whether we are at that point of our Christian life where we're able to take the meat. May we ask the Lord to help us to understand it and to progress in our walk with God. But then, finally, this evening, we note that there's a purpose that is shown. And why do we read the Word of God? Our text tells us that we read it in order to grow. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. As the young baby needs milk, and then as it needs food as it gets older, in order to have that physical, literal physical strength, the believer, he needs the food of the Word, whether it's the milk starting off and then progressing on to the meat. He needs that food in order to grow spiritually. Unless he grows and develops in such a manner, he will not be spiritually strong. If he reads the Word rightly, if he spends time with the Lord in prayer, he will be strong. He will grow to be strong in the faith. And he will be given the strength that he needs for spiritual warfare. We think of the words of over there in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse number 12. It reads, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We have a great description of the word there. And what a weapon the word of God is. And we must be able to handle it. A soldier who enlists in the army and goes off to battle, if he cannot use the weaponry that he has, he will not have much success when the enemy comes in against him. If he has his rifle or whatever weapon he has, but he doesn't know how to fire it, the enemy will soon defeat him and send him packing. Same thing applies. We are in a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the spiritual darkness. And our weapons, they are not carnal. We do not come and take literal swords and shields or whatnot, but rather our weapons are spiritual. And to fight, we take the sword of the Spirit. We put on the armor of God, as recorded there in Ephesians 6. But we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in order to wield it successfully, we must know it. We must know the Scriptures. We must have that familiarity with it. We must know how to use them. Also, if we grow through the reading of the Word, we will be guided throughout our lives. We think of, again, turning back to Psalm 119 and the verse 105. This is another very, very well-known verse. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if we seek the Lord, if we ask for his direction, he will guide us through his word. He will direct our paths. He will show us what we ought to do. And we can apply the principles that are taught in Scripture to the situations that we face. But again, we must read the word. We must know the word in order to be guided through life by the Lord. But then it also shows us our need for holiness. And the Lord's people, they are to be a holy people. They are to be a sanctified people. They are to seek to live in accordance with his commands given in Scripture. And I can say that I have no doubt that part of the problem that we face in this day and generation, when we see many people who profess faith in Christ, and yet whilst they profess faith and they will tell you they're Christians and all, yet they live in sin. They desecrate the Lord's day and they get involved in other things. And I think a large part of that problem is due to the fact that they do not read the Word of God. They do not read the Scriptures. They do not see the need for holiness because they never read of it. The only time they maybe lift their Bibles is when they walk into church in the Lord's day. But in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2, we read, it says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Those things were to be set to the side. They were not to be continued with. For this was really particularly directed at the new believer. And he was instructed to lay these things to the side, to put them away. He was a new believer. He was a new person. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. James chapter 1 and the verse 22 tells us, James 1 verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." As we read the word of God, we ought not just to read it or to hear it preached, but we ought to practice what we read, practice what we hear, practice what we preach. We ought to seek to be doers of the word, to seek to honor the Lord and to obey the commands that he has given us. And tonight, as we read the word of God, may we seek to live as it commands us. May we seek to obey what the Lord has taught. It is our standard. It is our only rule of faith and practice. And how important it is that we take the time to read, to study, to meditate upon it, to get to know it, to be familiar with it. May each one of us be men and women of the word. May we pray that our young people, that they would also have that desire for the sincere milk of the word. And then as they grow in the faith, as they grow in their walk with the Lord, progress on to the meat. How sad it is today. I was just talking to two friends. I was down in Fermanagh for a couple of days, maybe a week or two ago. And I met with two friends just in two different days. And we were talking about really the same issue, that we'd all been brought up in Christian homes. We knew many other young people, and they had been brought up in Christian homes as well. But yet there just seemed to be a something that they just had never seemed to really get into reading the word of God themselves. And sadly, many of those young people today, they've drifted off into the world. And it is a matter that we really must pray for. Because our young people, there are many distractions. There's many things to take their attention from the word of God. And it's something that we must bring to him in prayer. And we must ask the Lord to help our young people to get into the word. Help us even if there's some way that we can, or something that we can do to even encourage them to read the word. Because it's not an easy thing. It is something which it does take discipline. It takes much self-discipline, as we have said. But it is yet so important. Because if our young people, if they're going to be spiritually strong, they must read the word. But may we pray that the Lord would help us and help our young people to be men and women of the word of God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. If we could turn in our hymn books.